Jaya Rad Omadha Uma Kunja Vihare. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Bihari. Gopi Jana Mallabha Giri Badhari. Gopi Jana Mallabha Giri Badhari. Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Raja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tera Manachari Yamuna Tera Manachari Jai Hur Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunya Vihari. Gopi Jana Balava Giri Balathari. Vijana Manava Giribharataudi Yasuda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Yasoda Nandana Braja Jana Ranjana Jamuna Tera Banachari Yamuna Tera Banachari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jaya Radha Madhava Kunja Vihari. Jai Om Vishnu Pad Paramahansa Paravidakacharya Also Tida Sitashi Shimad His Divine Grace Sabaya Chadanada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Kijai Iskan Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Kijai Anantakoti Vaishnav Vrinda Kijai Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Kijai Friends, say Kaho Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shidwaita Gadadha Shiva Siddhi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Gijai Sri Radha Krishna Gopi Gopadan Sayam Kunda Radha Kunda Giri Gauradan Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturam Kijai Jagannath Swami Kijai Yamanamai Kijai Shrimati Lalasa Devi Kijai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Kijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bol. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees. All glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Namo Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamini Namini. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarani. So reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, 10th canto, 32nd chapter, text 2. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Kasam Avirabuch Chorihi Smayamana Mukhambuja Pitambara Daraha Shadve Sakshan Manmata Manmataha Tassam Virabhuchori Smayamana Mukambhujaha Pitambara Daraha Shadve Sakshan man matta man matakha Ta samma virabhuts chauri Smayamhana mukambujaha Pitambara dara shadve Sakshan man matta man matakha Tasamma virabhuts chauri Smayamana mukambhujaha Pitambara dara shagve Sakshan man matta man matkha. Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Go ahead. Tasam before them. Aviravut. He appeared. Shodahi. Lord Krishna. Smayamana. Smiling. Mukha. His face. Ambujaha. Lotus like. Pita. Yellow. Ambara. A garment. Dadaha. Wearing. Shakvi. Wearing a flower garland. Sakshat. Directly. Manmata. Of Cupid. Who bewilders the mind. Man. Of the mind. Mataha. The bewilderer. So translation. Then Lord Krishna's smile on his lotus face appeared before the gopis. Wearing a garland and a yellow garment, he had directly appeared as one who can bewilder the mind of Cupid, who himself bewilders the minds of ordinary people. So you can repeat. Then Lord Krishna, a smile on his lotus face, appeared before the gopis. Wearing a garland and a yellow garment, he directly appeared as one who can bewilder the mind of Cupid, who himself bewilders the minds of ordinary people. So, actually, there is a purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada, and that's from the Krishna book. Which should have been included. Anyway, so this is actually quite an interesting purport by Srila Prabhupada, because Prabhupada makes a statement that at first appears to be very bewildering, and I'm going to explain it. So, when Lord Krishna finally reappeared amongst the assembled gopis, he looked very beautiful, just befitting a person with all kinds of opulences. In the Brahma Sangita, it is stated, what's that noise? Well, then you got to close that door, because that causes the air to, cause the fan to, oh, then it blows in there. Because the air's flow, yeah. And because the exhaust in the kitchen doesn't work. There we go. Okay, that's better. Yeah. Yeah, well, we're not going to open the door there to suck the air from it. So when Lord Krishna, all right, so he looked very beautiful, just befitting a person with all kinds of opulences. In the Brahma Sangita, it is stated, Ananda Chinmaya Rasa Pratibhavita Bihi. Krishna alone is not, here's an interesting statement. Krishna alone is not particularly beautiful, Prabhupada says. But what's that? It's an interesting statement. Krishna alone is not particularly beautiful, but when his energy, especially the pleasure energy, represented by Radharani, expands, he looks very magnificent. The Mayavada conception of perfection and absolute truth without potency is due to insufficient knowledge. Actually, outside the exhibition of his different potencies, the absolute truth is not complete. Ananda Chinmaya Rasa means that his body is a transcendental form of eternal bliss and knowledge. Krishna is always surrounded by different potencies, and therefore he is perfect and beautiful. So that's Prabhupada's purport. So let me go back and read the Sanskrit. And then after that, we'll read the commentaries by the Acharyas. Tesam aviravut shori smayamana mukambujaha pitambara dhara shradvi sakshan man mata man mataha. So omaganat timiranda shagananjana shalakaya chakshur unmeditam yena tasbai shigarave namaha. So I just want to talk about Prabhupada's statement here. Krishna alone is not particularly beautiful. That's really an interesting statement, isn't it? So what does that actually mean? Well, first of all, if it's actually Krishna, he's never alone. You know, if you see someone and he's not with his potencies, like Prabhupada said, whenever an important man goes somewhere, then he has all of his associates with him. Just like when we have Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appear, he appears with his associates, Sango Pangastra Parshadam, right? Yagyar, he sankirtana prayar, he shantihi sumedasa. That means Lord Chaitanya comes with his weapons, his associates, his expansions, his devotees. You know, everybody comes together when the Lord is there. So that's why Prabhupada objected when one devotee showed him a picture of Krishna like floating up there in the stratosphere with a big om around him. I don't know if you've ever seen that picture. It's really interesting. Krishna's playing his flute. And there's an om, like, right behind or surrounding Krishna. It's black. It's all black. The background is all black. He's like in a star. There may be some stars in that picture. I'm not sure. But Prabhupada objected to that. He said, no, Krishna is always with his associates. So, therefore, Krishna is never alone. So it's not, if someone's alone, it's not Krishna. Which is really interesting. And even you say, oh, okay, but Krishna wasn't with the gopis. He was hiding from the gopis. But all of Krishna's paraphernalia is personal. Krishna's never alone anyway. Because even if you talk about Krishna's flute, that's a person, isn't it? Krishna's expansion, his clothes are expansions of Balaram. His Brahman thread is a manifestation of Shesha, or Balaram. So everything connected to Krishna is personal, so Krishna is never alone. That's one way to understand this. I was thinking of another way, too, to understand this particular statement, because Prabhupada here specifically refers to Srimati Radharani. Not only does he say Krishna alone is not particularly beautiful, but the rest of the sentence is, but when his energy, especially his pleasure energy, represented by Srimati Radharani, because Krishna is never separated from his pleasure energy, expands, he looks very magnificent. So Prabhupada here is sort of indicating, you know, his dedication, love. I'm not going to say the Prabhupada is indicating his rasa or anything like that. I think that would be presumptuous for me to say that. So we're just doing some hermeneutics here. You forgot it. You're listening. Okay, you're forgiven. So Prabhupada is also indicating, you know, from a bhava standpoint. So there's two ways of looking at it. One way of looking at it is from a tattva standpoint, that Krishna is never separated from his energies, so Krishna can't be alone. If it's someone alone, it's not Krishna. And the other way is from the bhava standpoint, Prabhupada is here expressing in this particular comment, it's a commentary on this verse, that Krishna's his attraction for service to Radharani and his connection with Srimati Radharani. So that's why Prabhupada says this. And it's not there in the verse itself, or even in the commentaries by the Acharya. So this is Prabhupada's really ecstatic expression. Also, I wanted to read the commentary written in the Ananda Vrindavan Champu by Kavi Karnapur on this particular verse. Krishna reappeared in order to enlighten them and to make them forget the weeping and lamentation arising constantly in their hearts due to their sweetness, greatness, and gravity. Krishna came to fix their intelligence on his perfectly formed, beautiful body from the beginning of their meeting until the end. Merciful Krishna manifested before them to bathe their hearts in the ecstasy of rapturous love. Now they could regard their previous searching here and there for him in separation to be just a dream. And that's also indicative of our lives before we came to Krishna consciousness. that we were searching for Krishna. Of course, we didn't. Like Lord Chaitanya gives that example, and I don't remember all the details of the example, but it's about how a man is informed, a very poor man, at least he thinks he's poor, he's informed that you're fought by an astrologer who's called Sarvagya. Sarvagya means to know everything. It's pretty good. Actually, Krishna's the only one who knows everything. He's omniscient. And so practically no one else can make this statement, because that's an absolute statement. Very few people can make this statement other than Krishna. But in every case, all these absolute statements, except for those repeating the words of Krishna and Krishna himself. Because if we say, you always do this, how do we know you always do that? And usually people who don't believe in God contradict themselves. Because if they say there's no God, that's a contradiction. I mean, because basically, how do they know that there's no God? And the only way that they would know that there was no God is if they were God. Isn't it? It's the only way they would know. I mean, it's really interesting how philosophers oftentimes, not philosophers, but people don't know philosophy, who are trying to portray or present an atheistic philosophy, don't even understand philosophy. They contradict themselves. So, anyway. So we want to talk also about Cupid here, which is a very interesting point. Like, Krishna is called Madan Mohan, and Cupid is a Madan. And Cupid is generally taken, I know I've talked about this before, Cupid is also called Ananga, which I guess technically means no limbs, but actually means he's invisible. And the reason he's invisible is because he had an interesting encounter with Lord Shiva. He thought he would agitate Lord Shiva. Actually, Cupid can agitate any of us, basically. He has his arrows, which are the objects of the senses, like form, taste, and smell, and he fires these arrows. So he tried to use his arrows on Lord Shiva, and then he was sorely disappointed. He was burnt to ashes, and he became Ananga without any gross physical body. And in other words, the Pancha Mahabhuta was all gone. So therefore, that makes him more dangerous. When someone is invisible, invisible enemy, and actually, Kama Rupena Kunti Adushprena Lenita, he's our eternal enemy in the form of lust, which is never satisfied and burns like fire, Bhagavad Gita says, right? And so he, just when we were thinking we've conquered lust, or just when we think that we're not lusty, he's there, he's like invisible. Lust doesn't mean simply being lusty after the opposite sex, or nowadays same sex, but lust means being just extremely greedy to have something, to possess something, to use something. I was talking about this the other day in relationship to loving relationships, so-called loving relationships, that we use people for our own sense gratification, or use an object for our own sense gratification, or use an animal for our own sense gratification. That's lust, to exploit you. Like if I see a purva, I need a good cook. And then I go to a purva and I my motive is hidden. I'm saying, you're so nice, a purva. Oh, I love you, a purva G. You're so wonderful. Would you like to cook for me? And he's thinking, he really loves me. But actually, I just love his cooking. So, or the same thing, you go to a car dealership, and the car dealership is saying so many nice things about you and your family and everything like that. I've experienced that before. And you're thinking, he really likes me. But no, he's lust. He wants to use you. It's lust. Because he wants to get something from you to use you for his own satisfaction. And so so-called loving relationships in this material world are based upon exploitation. And then Cupid increases that exploitation, right? Because when we're when we are hit by the arrows of Cupid, let's say, you know, man-woman relationship like that, one is thinking, you know, we want to enjoy the touch of the other person or this, the smell, yuck. And it's just, but we're not thinking of the person. It's very impersonal. We're thinking actually of using the person for our own sense gratification. So that's what Cupid does. Even though you may be so enthusiastic because Valentine's Day is coming up, right? February 14th, am I right? You may be so enthusiastic about Valentine's Day, but that's actually what it is. You know, just, of course, the Prabhupada tells the story about liquid beauty, which illustrates this particular point. This prince, and I'm not going to tell the whole story, you know, this prince becomes very attracted to this young girl, or the young girl, and he's just like, wow, she's really attractive. But as soon as she takes some purgatives, not as soon, took about 2 weeks, as soon as she's taking these purgatives and she looks like a hag, then he's not interested anymore. He just walks, you know, when he sees where her beauty was, you know, liquid beauty, then he just like runs away, disgusted. So what, he wasn't interested in her, right? He was interested in what he could, how he could enjoy whatever she possessed, that is her body. So that's Cupid. So, but Krishna can bewilder the mind of Cupid. He does bewilder the mind of Cupid, according to this verse. He is Madan Mohan. And of course, we know that Srimati Radharani is Madan Mohan Mohini. She can bewilder even the mind of the person who's bewildering the mind of Cupid. Anyway, so these are some of the points here, and then we'll go on to read the commentaries. And the commentaries are really amazing in this particular verse. Of course, they're always amazing. Shukadeva used the word Shauri, for Krishna, indicating him as a Kshatriya, in order to show favor to the gopis, to show displeasure with him. In other words, he wanted the gopis to get angry with him. So he exhibited this particular, because it's like a Kshatriya is always explained here, because Krishna was born as a Kshatriya who have crooked hearts. He displayed that nature by giving sorrow to the gopis. So what does it mean, crooked hearts? They can be duplicitous sometimes, because sometimes Kshatriyas, Brahmins are not supposed to be duplicitous at all. Of course, Vaishyas are also supposed to be duplicitous. Because Prabhupada said that a Vaishya can say, for you, there's no profit, right? So that's duplicity right there. Because it's a lie. Prabhupada said it's a simple lie, or what we would call in English a white lie. So so it's interesting, he says, because he's born as a Kshatriya who have crooked hearts. But Vaishyas also have crooked hearts. But he used the word Shauri because Kshatriyas definitely are engaging in politics. And if you ever watch the news, which you probably shouldn't, which I do all the time, then you'll see that when they're asked a question, you know, by some commentator who's trying to get them to say something that will incriminate them, that they always, they never answer the question directly. I'm just amazed at how expert they are, isn't it? In answering the question by not answering the question. And I was thinking, I could never do that. It'd be really hard for me. Someone asked me a question, I just want to say, you know, someone says, did you do this? Yeah, I did it, I'm sorry. But, you know, if I was a Kshatriya, they would say, did you do this? I said, that's a very interesting philosophical question. What do you mean by this? So Kshatriyas have crooked hearts, and actually they like to have the interactions, and Vaishyas also like to have this like angry interaction and all these different emotions. Whereas Brahmins, generally they like everything just to be completely straightforward. Isn't it? I mean, a Brahmin is, you know, a true Brahmin is not going to hide from his wife to make his wife angry. You know, just, you know, let's talk about philosophy. Isn't it? I mean, someone's a true Brahmin, of course they probably wouldn't have a girlfriend, but anyway. If someone was a true Brahmin and they have a conjugal relation, you know, his wife, like that. I mean, like, you can't imagine Bhaktivinoda Thakur hiding from his wife to make his wife angry. Could you? It's like, you know, or Prabhupada doing something like that. You can't imagine him doing that. So that's a Brahmin's quality. A Brahmin is extremely straightforward. He's not tricky, you know, he's just telling the truth. That's a quality of Brahman, you know, you hear these qualities of Brahman. Samadamata Pakshocham Shanti Rajamaneva Chaganavigyanam Astikyam Paramakarma Sambhavajam. But a Kshatriya, you know, he's devious, he likes being tricky. And a Vaishya is also very devious in certain ways, likes being tricky. And a Shudra, I'm not going to talk about. So anyway, so Krishna was born as a Kshatriya, and Prabhupada said, and not Prabhupada, but Srinath Chakravarti Thakur, and Kshatriyas have crooked hearts. He displayed that nature by giving sorrow to the gopis. You know, I sort of enjoy this, you know, giving sorrow to the gopis. But if he had been born as a coward who were by nature soft and honest, it's interesting. Cowards, actually, even though they're vicious, he would not have done like that. In other words, a coward would be more compassionate because they're working with cows all the time. When you're working with cows or in the pasture field, it's funny, there's some vaishyas who just do business and some vaishyas who work with cows. But obviously, vaishyas who do business is a little bit different. This is the hint he gives by using the word shalri. Because of this thought, the gopis were suffering. He was broadly smiling. Smayamana mukham bhuja. So you may think, this is cruel. He's smiling because of suffering? That's pretty cruel. Well, he's a tease. But actually, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains, he was smiling to please the gopis, and the suffering of the gopis pained his lotus heart. Whew. So you got these conflicting emotions, like in the beginning. It appears almost to be like a contradiction. He displayed this nature by giving sorrow to the gopis, and then it says, the suffering of the gopis pained his lotus heart. So you have these like conflicts of emotion. So he experienced both things. He appeared with a yellow cloth over his two shoulders, hanging in front of both sides, and folding his hands, he asked them for forgiveness. He wore a garland to show the gopis what Radha had given to him. So that's also to agitate them some more. You know, here's the garland. Radha's given me this garland. So you see all these like interesting interactions going on in Krishna's transcendental mind and his interactions with the gopis and his different motivations. You know, he has a soft heart, but actually he knew what he was doing, and he's teasing. You know, it's just like Krishna's extremely complicated character. Who can understand Krishna? I don't think anyone can understand. So Radhika, he was directly Cupid, one who agitates their minds. But because though Cupid bewilders the whole world, when he came to bewilder Krishna by taking the form of a woman, seeing Krishna's beauty, Cupid himself became pierced with the arrows of love and fainted. Therefore, Krishna and the gopis, both being pierced with the arrows of love from the Cupid emanating from Krishna himself, began to enjoy together. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur's commentary. So in other words, with the arrows of love, so Krishna is called the transcendental Cupid. Prabhupada has mentioned that statement. Actually, the Brahma Samhita, that statement is there. He's the transcendental Cupid and emanates The arrows of love. It's so picturesque. I mean, so poetic, isn't it? The arrows of love. You should actually make a painting like that, of Krishna with arrows of love coming from him, piercing the gopis. But not only did the arrows of love, Krishna and the gopis, Krishna was also pierced by the arrows of love coming from himself. So they sort of like boomeranged. That's a statement by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur. Therefore, Krishna and the gopis, both being pierced with the arrows of love from the cupid emanating from Krishna himself. That's an amazing statement. Began to enjoy together. They were not impelled by the material cupid's arrows, obviously, which are not qualified for spiritual pastimes. When appearing before the gopis, Krishna took this particular form of the bewilderer of Cupid in revealing his own sweetness in order to make the gopis forget such intense sorrow of separation. Wow. So he bewildered the gopis to make them forget that they had previously endured separation, which was, to them, we spoke before, was like a dream, like our own selves. When we come to Krishna consciousness, everything before, at least my experience, is that everything that happened before I came to Krishna consciousness was like a dream, and I've woken up. And also that refers to the statement that some people consider controversial, that Krishna consciousness is an inherent part of the soul, and inherent part of the nature of the living entity, and it just has to be woken up. Other people, or some people, say that Krishna consciousness has to come from outside, but it's not like that. Krishna consciousness, that's the Chaitanya Charitamrita. I forget the exact quotation in Bengali, but I've read it many times, that Krishna consciousness is actually dormant in our own hearts, and we wake up. And Prabhupada gives the example, like by sound vibration. Prabhupada's used that example many times. By sound vibration, you have alarm clocks that wake you up. Because nowadays they have these alarm clocks that shine a light or something like that. But you're woken up by sound vibration, and then you remember who you are. And also I was reading last night in the Chaitanya Charitamrita about the process of Raghunuga Bhakti. You know, Raghunuga Bhakti is part of Sadhana Bhakti. You have Sadhana Bhakti, you have Vaidhi Bhakti, and Raghunuga Bhakti. And it stated in the Chaitanya Charitamrita that when one is executing sadhana bhakti, beginning with Vaidhi bhakti, then one is gradually comes to realize who or what you're attracted to in the spiritual world, and that's the beginning of Raghunuga Bhakti. You know, Raghunuga Bhakti means basically you have this ragatmaka devotee or devotees in the spiritual world, and you develop a desire to follow in their footsteps. Like, you know, think about me. I just think I develop a desire to follow in the footsteps of a cow. So, so that's my ragatmaka devotee is this Bhumi, you know, in the spiritual world, following her footsteps. So anyway, But it's a natural progress. And actually in the Jiva Dharma you see the same thing. That the Vijay Kumar and his uncle, they become awakened to what their natural propensity, isn't it? And they bounce it off their guru. Forgive me for using that expression, but that's a literary expression. That they just present to their guru, you know, I have an attraction for this, and the guru says, yes, you must be a gopi, or you must be a coward boy. Vijay Kumar is a coward boy, and his uncle's a gopi. So, and they're coming to that realization. The guru is not imposing that on them. The guru is simply facilitating them and understanding what their nature is and helping them undergo the process of cultivating that particular nature. So that's Raghunuga Bhakti. So in so many literatures, we find that it's a process. So many Vaishnava literatures, practically all the Vaishnava literatures, it's a process of awakening. You know, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's songs. What is it? Jeev Jago, Jeev Jago. Wake up, sleeping soul. Wake up, sleeping soul. Gota Chanda Bole. Lord Chaitanya is calling you. Kota Nidri. Oh, Maya Pisa Chirakole. How long have you been sleeping in the lap of the witch called Maya? You know, the illusory energy of the Lord. And then also you can Udila Arna Purabhage. Purabhage. That can be taken literally, that Lord Chaitanya goes to the towns and villages and wakes up all the villagers and says, get up. But actually you can take that internally. The Lord Chaitanya is waking us up. And we've all experienced that in Krishna consciousness, that it's a process of waking up, even before you get philosophy. I mean, when I first heard Prabhupada chanting on the radio, then it actually woke me up. I didn't understand any of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness. I didn't understand that I wasn't the body or anything. But it was just like a wake-up call. So anyway, so let's see if we have time to read a little bit about Jiva Goswami. The commentaries here are quite interesting. On hearing them cry, he began to consider that they, Tassam, were at the point of death from crying and misery at the thought that he was suffering. Wow. This shows that one can attain Krishna by one's intense misery. In which one, this is again Lalyam, or Lalasa, which Mother Irma talked about yesterday. So one can attain Krishna by one's intense misery. Of course, what type of misery? Misery means separation from Krishna, in which one surrenders to him completely while not thinking of one's own interest. Though he was famous as being born in a Kshatriya dynasty, he appeared before them. He's making reference to this word, Shauri. Thus his appearance was most remarkable. It will be said, Trilokya Lakshmieka Padam Bapur Dadat. His transcendental body, the exclusive abode of beauty and opulence within three worlds, shone brilliantly as the gopis worshipped him. That's from the 14th verse of this particular chapter. And then he quotes more from a later chapter, actually. Tatratrishu shube tabir bhagavan devaki sutta majemaninam haimananam maha Marakato yata. In the midst of the dancing gopis, Lord Krishna appeared most brilliant, like an exquisite sapphire in the midst of golden ornaments. And that's from the 33rd chapter of the 10th canto, text 6. Uddhava concludes that his splendid appearance before them was proper because of their prema. And I'm just going to read the English, because we only have 1 minute. What austerities must the gopis have performed with their eyes? They always drink the nectar of Krishna's form, which is the essence of loveliness, and it is not to be equaled or surpassed. That loveliness is the only abode of beauty, fame, and opulence. It is self-perfect, ever-fresh, and extremely rare. And that's from the Bhagavatam, 10th Canto, 44th chapter, text 14, and I think we have to end now. We have a half minute left for questions. Yes?
Just a comment. I just got a message this morning from one of our God teachers asking me, with the last line of Gayatri, who is the transcendental teacher that can see the Krishna?
Yeah. This is explaining.
I just got that question today.
And that is explained in Vishwanath Chakravartita. So the transcendental Cupid emanates from Krishna's body, and it bounces back on Krishna. That's such an amazing concept, isn't it? If you think about Krishna himself, well, we know that Krishna that Radharani is his energy, and Krishna becomes enamored and controlled by her. So it's not so much different from that particular understanding. But there's transcendental Cupid. And that Cupid emanates from Krishna, because everything comes from Krishna. Ham sarvasya prabhu mataksarvam vartate. Yeah. Yeah, everything's coming from him, including the transcendental Cupid who excites Krishna.
I was also thinking of that statement in Bhagavatam, that's a resonance of like
So Prabhupada is revealing he's a resident of the spiritual world. Yeah, because he's saying, you know, the statement about Krishna's, let me read that again, but it's such an amazing statement. Oh, actually, that's on the paper, not on there. The Prabhupada makes about Krishna not being so beautiful without Radharani. Where's the paper? Anyway, I sort of lost the paper. Oh, here it is. Here it is. I mean, it's just like an amazing rasika thing. Krishna alone is not particularly beautiful. Oh, my God. You know, if I were to say that, you'd throw me out of the Hare Krishna movement. What is that? Blessings. Whoops. Are you getting something better by my mercy? Okay. Yeah, Radha Bhakta. That's the point. Jai, Radha Gokulananda, Radha Gokulananda ki jai. Stay.
Govinda Adi Purusha Tamaham Bhajami Govinda Adi Purusha Tamaham Bhajami Govinda Adi Purusha Tamaham Bhajami Nam Gananda Maravinda Dalaya Tavsham Bhagavatam Samasidam Udasundarangam Kanda Pakyo Pitamaniya Vishesha Shobham Govinda Adi Bhajami Govinda Adi Purusha Namaha Bhajami Govinda Adi Purusha Namaha Bhajami Angani Yasa Sagalan Priyadriti manti Asyanti pan Ikayanti Kiranjalanti Angarat maya Sadhu Jala Vigrasya Govinda
Hare Purusham. Aturam maduram madanam maduram Nayanum maduram achitam maduram Aturam maduram Varanam Madhuram Yannu Madhuram Hachitam Madhuram Ritaya Madhuram Namana Madhuram Madhuraripate Rakilam Madhuram Taya Madhuram Namana Madhuram Madhuraripate Rakilam Madhuram Vacharam Madhuram Charitam Madhuram Madhatsam Madhuram Valitam Madhuram Madhajam Madhuram Charitam Madhuram Vasanam Madhuram Valitam Madhuram Janitam Madhuram Ramitam Madhuram Madhuraripate Rakilam Madhuram Litam Madhuram, Ramitam Madhuram, Madhuraripate Rakilam Madhuram. Venur Madhuro, Madhur Madhura, Panir Madhura, Patam Madhuram. Venur Madhuro, Nur Madhura, Panir Madhura, Pato Madhura, Cham Madhuram, Sakam Madhuram, Madhuraripate Rakilam Madhuram. Tam Madhuram, Pitam Madhuram, Bhuktam Madhuram, Sutam Madhuram. Pam Madhuram, Tilakam Madhuram, Madhuraripate Rakilam Madhuram. Varanam Madhuram, Taranam Madhuram, Varanam Madhuram, Gamanam Madhuram. Varanam Madhuram, Taranam Madhuram, Varanam Madhuram, Ramanam Madhuram. Mamitam Madhuram, Samitam Madhuram, Madhuraripate Rakilam Madhuram. Cham Madhura, Mala Madhura, Yamuna Madhura, Vichita Madhuram. Jalita Madhuram, Kamala Madhuram, Madhuraripate Rakilam Madhuram. Gopi Madhura, Lila Madhura, Yuktam Madhuram, Bhuktam Madhuram. Gopi Madhura. Vrishtam Madhuram, Shishtam Madhuram, Madhuraripate Rakilam Madhuram. Pa Madhura, Gavo Madhura, Yasti Madhura, Shristir Madhura. Gopa Madhura, Gavo Madhura, Yes. Dear Madura, dear Madura, Dalita Madura, Balita Madura, Madura Ripate Rakila Madura. Madhuram, 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 Nayana Madhuram, Hatsita Madhuram, Rambanam Madhuram, Nayana Madhuram, Hatsita Madhuram, Ridaya Madhuram, Gamana Madhuram, Madhuradipate Rakila Madhuram. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Nayo rat, agono kenanura, agono kenanura, Hare. Gayurad, Hagulukina, Hagulukina, the Dante. Gayurad, hey, Gayurad, hey, Gayurad, hey, Gayurad, hey. Dayarate, 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 Jai Om Vishnu Pad, Paramahansa Paravedakacharya, Osa Tada, Sutashi, Shimad. His Divine Grace, Abhaya Chantanada Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. ISKCON, Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Anandakoti, Vaishnava Vrinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai. Prem Se Goho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidvaita Gadadha. Shri Vasadi Gaur Vakta Vrindi Kajai Shri Shri Radhakrishna Gopi Gopana Sayam Kunda Radhakunda Giri Gauranam Kijai Vrindavanam Kijai Maturanam Kijai Jagannatha Swami Gajai Manamai Gajai Srimati Lassi Devi Gajai Samaveda Bhakta Vrinda Gajai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari Bo. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees. All glories to some of the devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Ma Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Pasaya Vudhuli Sri Madhavati Padaya Swami. Stay Saswati Vanita Sesa Nibadi Pashyavati.
Translation. His lips are sweet, his face is sweet, his eyes are sweet, his smile is sweet, his heart is sweet, his gait is sweet. Everything is sweet about the emperor's sweetness. His words are sweet. His character is sweet. His dress is sweet. His belly folds are sweet. His movements are sweet. His wandering is sweet. Everything is sweet about the emperor's sweetness. His flute is sweet. His foot dust is sweet. His hands are sweet. His feet are sweet. His dancing is sweet. His friendship is sweet. Everything is sweet about the emperor's sweetness. His singing is sweet. His yellow cloth is sweet. His eating is sweet. His sleeping is sweet. His beauty is sweet. His tilak is sweet. Everything is sweet about the emperor's sweetness. His deeds are sweet. His liberating is sweet. His stealing is sweet. His love sports are sweet. His oblations are sweet. His tranquility is sweet. Everything is sweet about the emperor's sweetness. His Gunjaberry necklace is sweet. His flower garland is sweet. His Yamuna River is sweet. His ripples are sweet. His water is sweet. His lotuses are sweet. Everything is sweet about the emperor's sweetness. His gopis are sweet. His pastimes are sweet. His union is sweet. His food is sweet. His delight is sweet. His courtesy is sweet. Everything is sweet about the emperor's sweetness. His gopis are sweet. His cows are sweet. His staff is sweet. His creation is sweet. His trampling is sweet. His fruitfulness is sweet. Everything is sweet about the emperor of sweetness. Jai Shri Prabhupada. Okay, Shikshashtika. Jivanam